Brethren, it's so good to be with you. We love coming down here because it's more like home. You know, the rest of the U.S., they don't have the palm trees, they don't have the hot sunshine, but you guys are like Palau. You can move to Palau and live there, and you can say, I'm already adjusted. That's right. So just come on over. David and I used to put a Bible verse on a little whiteboard on our little small fridge in the dorm room, and if I was leaving, I'd put one on for him for when he got back and vice versa. And we quit so we could name the book and name the verse. So you find the reference. And so we just put the verse on there, and then the other one was supposed to find the reference in the Bible, supposedly by knowing. And he beat me so many times that we quit doing it. It got old fast, okay? So he's a good man. We're very glad to have our good friend be able to be with our good friends. In some ways, we see the world through our television sets. We see other cultures, foreign places, people of all different kinds, foods of different kinds. You see the news in Mongolia or who won the election in Timbuktu. And so this morning, I'd like to take you over to Palau and to Chuuk in the South Pacific through a television set. In Palau and Chuuk, there's cable TV, but it's the old kind. We don't have the automatic menu at the bottom where you can see what's on other channels. You just have to flip through and see what's on, what's playing. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to flip through and learn about the Lord's work over in these faraway places. So here we are zooming in on Palau, on the main area of Koror. This is where 90% of the population of Palau resides. And then zooming in on what it is. So we're searching this morning for something to watch on television. I wonder if there's a parallel between that and searching for fulfillment that people do in the world today. Well, let's see what we can find. Some commercials, we'll flip on, pass through that. I wonder if there's any parallel to commercials, any spiritual application of those. We'll see. Oh, here's a TV channel. This is interesting. It's about us. Who wouldn't want to watch that, right? We've been in the islands for 11 years now, 5 in Saipan and 6 in Palau. It's home. We've become accustomed to life there, even though the internet speed is about what it was here in the U.S. 20 years ago. We've learned the culture, we've adapted to the culture, and it's good. We want to become all things to all men so that we can save some. But it's strange, brethren, because we're more at home there in that culture than we are here. And that's a weird feeling. I feel it, my wife feels it, my children feel it. But we have no plans to return to the U.S. Lord willing, we're there to stay, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, let's see what else is on television this morning. Some commercials. I tell you, I don't really like to watch fishing on TV. Do you like to do that? Not for me so much. It just doesn't move fast enough. Here's another channel, the Palau Church of Christ channel. It has grown since we were with you last. We had, here you see Noah picking up the trash. He does that every Sunday morning. It's kind of a thorough way through there, and people walk through there and just scatter trash very readily. So Noah picks up trash every Sunday morning, and Nina does the Lord's Supper, so it's a family effort. We had one divisive brother, though, who had left the church and kindly started his own group, and he eventually passed away, and we were able to work with this brother, R.C., and bring him on into the Palau Church of Christ. R.C. lives way up north in Imalik State on Babeldaob Island. There are 4 islands in Palau, and Babeldaob is the northernmost and largely uninhabited. Well, R.C. works at a power plant up there. Took an hour and a half to pick him up on Sunday mornings, and then an hour and a half in the afternoon to take him home. But it gave us a good time to visit. That's R.C., very faithful member of the Church of Christ in Palau. When I was with you last, I reported to you that Mino and Cheryl had left the church. I'm happy to say they have come back. You know, we really want to work with those straying sheep and bring them back. So Mino and Cheryl have come back to the church, and we're just ecstatic about that. Another family there in the church in Palau. Let me tell you about Marissa. She's a sister who was baptized in Palau, a Filipino girl. She was baptized in Palau several years ago and then went back to the Philippines. Well, she has come back to Palau, having a job there, and she had an interesting situation with her job. There are robberies in Palau. Not a lot of crime. Most of the crime is like domestic violence, but there are occasional robberies. And so Marissa works the late shift at a convenience store and the only one there at night. Well, after one of the convenience stores was robbed, they would do that with machetes because guns are few and far between in Palau. They're illegal. So the convenience store near her was robbed, and she told her boss, "I'm not comfortable being here alone. You know, they're going to come in here and rob this place, and what'll I do?" And he didn't give her a very good answer. He really put the money in front of Marissa. And he said, "Well, if they come in, lock the cash drawer, throw the key, and then run." Yeah. Yeah. And I said, "Marissa, don't do that, because they're going to take their anger out on you. And if they come in, give them what they want and then get out of there." Well, Marissa quit that job, and she has been looking for another. We've been helping her look for another. But Marissa brought to us Nimpa, seated there with her. And Nimpa is another Filipino lady, and we've been able to have several Bible studies with her and look forward to continuing them when we get back to Palau. We're hopeful that that Nimpa will be baptized and become a sister in Christ. We believe she will. Another thing that we do in Palau is watch the newspapers for leads on Bible studies. I had a neighbor. There was a business close to our house, next door to our house, and a girl got hurt there. And it was my neighbor across the street that helped her out of a situation. And so I saw this in the paper, and I went to him and I said, "Hey, take me to this family." And so he did, and we were able to go and visit with them. And that's something also that we hope will turn into Bible studies. But watching the two newspapers in Palau is something that we do. There are only two, Island Times and Tia Balao. And for that country with a population of 24,000 people, these are the two newspapers. Well, let's see what else is on TV this morning. There's the TV Guide channel, Weather Channel. You like to watch the Weather Channel? Here's the Chinese channel. The Chinese have come into Palau recently. A visa requirement has lifted off of them, and they have come into Palau in droves and really, really purchased up a lot of land and businesses and houses. We had one to attend services and had several Bible studies with him, but the language barrier kept us from being able to be successful with that. It's one of those situations where you talk for a few minutes and then say, "Do you understand?" And he'd say, "Uh-huh." And he did not understand what you were asking. You're just saying, "Uh-huh," right? So what we did was get on World Video Bible School's website and get some Chinese Bible studies for him and put them on a disc for him and give to him. But we're hopeful that we can be more successful with a Chinese community that is growing there in Palau. Some people like to watch ice skating on TV or archery. What about this? This is the radio channel. This is a radio station in Palau. And one of the unique things about Palau is that it's required and necessary to be involved in the community. With that small island country, the people depend on one another. You may remember in our newsletters that we had a severe drought in Palau. Well, that's a problem because we don't have neighboring counties that we can call on for water. Here in the U.S., you can always get to water somewhere through the connected system. L.A. gets its water from Colorado. Did you know that? And so we don't have a neighboring county. When the water table goes low in Palau, we're just out of water. And that's what happened this year. And we were down to rationing of water down to 2 hours per day. So think about everything in your home that requires water, the bathrooms, taking showers, washing clothes, washing dishes, and then drinking water. And so down to 2 hours per day to get all of that done, it was a tough time. So it's things like that that require the Palauan community to be close and to pull together. Well, being involved in the community has helped open some doors for us. The owner of that radio station came to me, and he liked what we were doing in the community and with the TV channel I'll tell you about in a few minutes. And he said, "Joe, if you want to put some lessons on the air, we'll be happy to run those for you for free." And we said, "Yes, absolutely, we'd love to do that." And so we've come up with some Palau legends and the legendary Bible. I'd like to share one with you and let you know what it is that we're putting on the radio there in Palau. Now, in Palau, they have storyboards where they carve a Palauan legend onto the board so that it will last a very long time. These are oral stories and traditions that they've passed on down through the years. There are a great many of them. The people don't really believe them. They are like folklore, like Paul Bunyan or the Lone Ranger here. But brethren, still they are a thing that the Palauans love and respect, and we have made radio lessons based on them. So here we go with one of them. Bacau and Bingol, Palau Legends and the Legendary Bible. In the Palau legend of Bacau and Bengol, the warriors of Naralamangui raided the nearby village of Naralong. There was one man they wanted to capture more than any other. A special canoe was built that would carry 14 warriors and one prisoner. When it was finished, the men boarded the canoe and sailed through the night to Naralong. They silently crept through the village looking for the man and found him sleeping alone in the village by. They gagged him, tied him up, and carried him quickly back to their canoe. They headed back home, planning to deliver the man to the village the next day. Away they paddled, the same way they came, which was through a narrow passage in the mangroves. There was no moon that night, and the swamp was pitch black. Only a few stars gave the slightest amount of light. The warriors struggled to see their way through the mangroves. The man, tied up in the bottom of the boat, had a unique perspective. He could just see the outline of the branches overhead when they blocked the light of the dim stars. Being left alone in the bottom of the boat, he was able to free his hands, and then he waited. When the time was right, he silently reached up and pulled himself up onto a branch. The warriors didn't even realize he was gone. As the boat returned to Naralamangui, the sun began to dawn. The warriors realized their trophy was gone. But back in Naralong, the man reported all that had happened. So they named that tree Bacau and Bengol, or the mangrove fighting tree. Well, there are some unique things about the nighttime. It can be hard to see at night. Paul and Silas were in trouble in Acts 17, and the brethren sent them away by night to Berea so that those who were looking for them might not see them. In 1 Thessalonians 5:7, we read, "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." Usually people are drunk in the night. When driving in the early hours of the morning, we have to be more cautious, don't we? Watching for drunk drivers. Jesus said he would return like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Like when a thief comes, it'll be a surprise. There won't be any signs or warnings, just, "Oh, he's here." It'll be a surprise. And two verses later, Paul tells us, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." We look forward to the day of our Lord's return. We don't have to be anxious about it. When we love God and follow His Word, we can have confidence on that day. Isn't that good news? I'm Joey Treat with the Palau Church of Christ, learning from Palau legends and the legendary Bible. So that's another outreach for us that we're very excited about because of our involvement in the community and the generosity of this radio station owner. Well, let's see what else is on TV. There's an aquarium channel, an infomercial. We'll skip on past that. Ah, the Chuuk channel. Very good. The people of Chuuk are very poor, not enough jobs there. They earn about $1.50 an hour, those that are able to get jobs, and that's not enough to buy rice for the family. The screen is going to show you three different locations. This one is a house, and the other two are church buildings where our brethren are meeting. This is the Namon Church of Christ building, then over the island over to Epanook Village. The brethren have hearts of gold. I camp when I'm in Chuuk. And I'm in a screened-in pavilion when I'm there. This is Urson. I'm in a screened-in pavilion when I'm there, and I was awakened one night by someone snoring. And I told the brethren what had happened. There was a drunk. The drunks walk the road, which is not far from the pavilion, and one of them had come up and fallen asleep under the eave of the screened-in pavilion where I sleep. And so it was him, and then the little thin concrete wall and screen, and then my tent and me. So he woke me up snoring just about 2 feet away from me, you see. Yeah. So I told the brethren that the next day in an illustration in the Bible study. I'm going to use something like that. Don't go drinking. Don't go get drunk. You don't know where you're going to. You're going to sleep on the dirt outside some strange building somewhere if you go doing things like that. And so that night, Urson came down the hill with a chair and a brother, and sat right outside the building where I'm sleeping. And I said, "Urson, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to stand watch for the drunks." And yeah, I said, "Urson, you don't have to do that. Really, it's okay." So he said, "Okay." Picked up his chair, moved about 30 feet away, and sat it back down and continued watching. I said, "Urson, you really don't have to do that. It was Anthony, this man that you see right here on the screen. It was Anthony who was the drunk that slept outside the building. He's a brother in Christ who is struggling with alcoholism. He had talked to me later that day and saying, 'Joey, help me with this thing. It's I'm not standing up to the temptation very well.' And so we talked about how I could help him. And so just a unique situation. We had a brother with a brother, protecting a brother from a brother. Yes. So they have hearts of gold, hearts of gold. Let's see what else is on TV. Oh, here we have the grape powder. It says mulberry extract, but it's grape powder. And we get this out of China. They don't sell grape juice in Chuuk. There's grape drink, but you know, that's not 100% grape juice. And so we have difficulty getting the Lord's Supper elements there in Chuuk. They can boil raisins, which is what they've done a great many times. We have picked the raisins out of a cereal box in order to have enough to make the Lord's Supper before. And they have this grape powder in China, and we can get that, and it's just like freeze-dried coffee. It's actually the grape juice, it's freeze-dried, it's crushed powdered grapes, and we mix that with water, and we have 100% grape juice. And so that is one solution that we have to that challenge. We had a campaign last summer in Chuuk and had 7 baptisms. We're very thankful about that. And always a great encouraging time when we have brethren like yourself come out and help us in the work there in Chuuk. The first house that you saw on the zooming in and out of Chuuk there, that's Miari. And we had a loss of a brother's life up there this year. He had gone fishing and drowned in doing so. Now that sounds very strange to you, I know, but fishing in Chuuk means that they're spear fishing, and so they're in the water with a spear gun. And brethren, that ocean water, if you've ever been swimming in the ocean around coral, it is incredible how strong the currents can get. I was swimming in a river one time, and the water and the rocks below in such a way made a tunnel, and it just pulled me down and pulled me through the rock area, and then spat me out on the other side. Nothing I could have done to have stopped that current from grabbing me. Well, that's the way it is in those ocean currents when there are a lot of corals around. It's very dangerous, and if you can watch them sometimes when the water is coming in, then you would understand how this could have happened. You just can't outswim it. You have to be smart enough to not get into it and kindly predict what's going to happen with that water before going. Well, such a sad loss, because Frog was our strongest leader. This is Frog, our strongest leader there in the church in Miari, and the loss of him is just really more than I could fathom. His wife followed a tradition in Chuuk. The Chuukese in general believe that they're following the Old Testament, or believe that they should. And we have taught so many times that we're not under the old law. And even with the brethren, we have to teach it several times. Well, they have the custom that they've inherited from the old law that when a man dies, the wife will go and marry his brother. And you know, that is exactly what she did. She went out to that remote island, Frog's home island, where his brother was, and married his brother. And that's the story of Pia. What it has done for us up there in Miari is forced us to double our efforts on outreach so that we can get more leadership in the church up there, and it can continue. And so that's one benefit that's come from it. But I do miss my good friend Frog, and will for a long time miss his presence up there. Let's see what else is on television. That was the Chuuk channel. We've got the shopping network of some kind, a fireplace channel. Here we go. Moving Mountains TV. This is a good one. This is our channel, Channel 67 in Palau. We operate it as part of our mission work there. We're able to do so very affordably because Palau's a developing country. We program it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's great, brethren, because we have a way into people's living rooms and are able to share the Word of God with them all the time, any time. And so it's terrific. But you know, the question to be asked concerning a TV channel is, are the people watching it? Let's face it, this is religious TV. So are the people watching it? Let me share with you some of the feedback that we've gotten this year alone on the channel. One of our friends said, the picture on your channel looks good, after we'd had a fuzzy picture issue and the cable company fixed it. One Filipino lady, when we explained that we operated Moving Mountains TV, said, oh, that's you? She knew about the channel, but she didn't know that we were the ones who did it. Another said, I noticed Moving Mountains was down and is back up now. The power goes off about once a week in Palau, sometimes for several hours, sometimes all day or overnight. And whenever the power goes down, our channel goes down. And so that's not uncommon. Two different groups of people have asked us, how can we set up a TV channel, knowing that we had done it. Another friend mentioned watching a program on the channel. President of the Bank of Hawaii asked me when a certain program would be showing. And another friend said to me, I saw you on TV the other night. One family called and said, we can't hear it. The audio was messed up and you see the video, but the sound wasn't playing. And so I went back and set it up again and turned it back on for them. And so they were able to watch the program. So how would you like to be able to call up NBC and say, can you restart that program? We missed the beginning of it, right? Well, you could do that if you were in Palau on Moving Mountains TV. They called back and they said, thank you. One lady was over at the house and she was on our back porch and she said, I recognize this. I've seen this on the TV channel. And, yeah, that's right. And then we had the owner of that radio station let me know that he really enjoyed the Noah's Ark program. Have you ever seen that from World Video Bible School? Excellently done. They went over and toured the replica of Noah's Ark and made three about 45-minute shows based on Noah's Ark. And it's fascinating. Well, he watched it, and that was one of the things that helped us get the free airtime, I think. And then another lady, in her own words, said that what we were doing was cool. So you know what these comments tell us? It tells us that people are watching the channel. People are watching the channel. Now, what are they watching? Well, they're watching our show, Leaping in Faith. Tell you about that in a few minutes. They're watching and learning the plan of salvation through Searching for Truth. They're watching Bible Questions and Answers. They're watching In Search of the Lord's Way with Phil Sanders. They're watching What Happened to the Dinosaurs from Apologetics Press. They're watching shows about lying, raising children, the death of Christ, and even brotherhood debates. That's what they're watching on Moving Mountains TV. And so, it kindly brings up the general question of religious TV. Well, let's see what else is on. Let's see what else is on. A business speculation show. Don't want to watch that. Here we have a train ride put on the television. Don't want to watch that either. Well, this is Leaping in Faith. This is our show, okay? And so this is the introduction. There's a 20-second introduction teaser followed by a one-minute title sequence. And during that title sequence, we have a cappella music playing that's upbeat. Well, brethren, I'm sure it'll come as no shock to you for me to say that people in the world consider religious TV some of the more boring TV that's out there. Now, I'm not talking about members of the church. We would enjoy it more, right? But for those who are out in the world, religious TV ranks pretty far down the list. Well, let's do a quick survey of boring TV. And there's a reason for doing this, so if you'll bear with me. My children laugh every time they see the toast leaping. Yeah. All right, so let's look at boring TV. Now, the truth is, I've already snuck this into the presentation in the shows that we've looked at. Boring TV, well, the Weather Channel, shopping TV, this is my top 10, okay? Business speculation shows, and then bowling, and infomercial, not something that I really want to watch, ice skating. You know, your top 10 may be a little bit different from mine, but maybe some overlapping. I don't like car racing. Maybe you do. We're not too far from Daytona. And then an archery show. Another one that's popular for some people is that fishing program. And then I've got a new one for you. This is Norwegian Slow TV. This is a real channel in Norway. And what they do is set the camera up in the cab of the locomotive and record a 9-hour train ride. And they play that on the channel. Yes, they do. Yes, so you'll have. Yeah, everyone's going to go home and search for this. After the 9-hour train ride, you can look at a 3-hour aquarium program, followed by a 3-hour fireplace show. So that's Norwegian Slow TV, and that ranks number one in my top 10 list of boring TV shows. Now, why are we looking at this? The reason that I share this with you is because, for people in the world, religious TV ranks somewhere on this list. Oh, brethren, that's what we're doing. We're making religious TV. Hi, I'm Joey Treat. I'm in boring TV, you know. And so what are we going to do in order to help people outside the church watch Leaping in Faith? Our audience consists of those who are outside the church. Here in the U.S., our Bible programs are sometimes targeted to those who are in the church, but not for us in Palau. You know, the church in Palau is less than 30 members, and so our audience is those outside the church. We've got to figure a way to help them to be able to watch the program. So what have we done? Before answering that, let me ask this question. What are the most important elements of a TV program? Number one, brethren, it's got to teach the truth. There's really nothing more important. It's got to teach the truth. And then secondly, it's got to teach the truth in love. People who get on radio or TV and are combative, I really disagree with that method of trying to win someone over to Christ. We're making a statement to come and be like me. Come and be like me. Come and take part of this the wonderful thing that God has given us. And so why are we going to do that in a combative kind of way? We want to speak the truth in love. But then the third most important element of any TV show throughout history, anywhere, anytime, is this. And that is that the host must be genuine. He must let his personality come through. One thing in TV that's unforgivable is if the person is not genuine. Think about those very, very loud radio personalities that we've all known. Why does it work with them? Well, they are combative, and that helps people to listen. But also, they're genuine. That's really who they are. And if it was otherwise, people would know and turn it off. So, that being the case, what have we done to make the religious show more interesting? First, let the personality of the host come through. That's a good thing to do. The second thing is to keep it moving. Keep it moving. Have you ever noticed how the TV scene is always changing? When you watch TV this afternoon or tonight, if you do, then pay attention to how often there's a camera change or a scene change. And on popular television, it will be about once per second. Wow. Well, that's how they did. That keeps our attention, you know. But many of our Bible programs in the church, we have the preacher sitting there with a fake plant in the Bible bookcase for 20 minutes, talking straight to the camera. It's hard for people to watch that one, right? And so we have changed it where there's a scene change taking place regularly, at least every 3 minutes, and usually not that long. We have a 20-second teaser, a one-minute title sequence, and then 3 minutes of teaching. During that 3 minutes of teaching, there's two cameras, so at least there's some camera change going on that way. And then we do something that's unique where I talk to myself. Now, you may think that I do that alone in front of the mirror, and I do, but I do it on the television set. So here we have the regular shot that you see most of the time on the program, and then the guy in the bottom right corner, yeah, I know. This creates a lot of funny situations. The guy in the bottom right corner is representing something that is a common worldly viewpoint, but that is wrong. And in this one, I think he's talking about how he doesn't want to go to services every Sunday, that he doesn't feel like he needs to. He can go out on his boat, and maybe the fog is settling on the water, and it's just a very spiritual atmosphere, and he's communing with God that way. So why go to church? He's communing with God. The guy in the top left corner, notice with me, it's just a little bit bigger. That's a TV trick to show that guy's right, right? And the guy in the top left corner is explaining from the Bible why he needs to do that. Now, brethren, this is something that fits with the Palauan culture, because they don't address things directly. They do it indirectly. If one of the young men has done something and the older men want to correct him on it, they'll call a family meeting. And the older man will say to another older man or older lady a life principle or a thing, the way they do it in their family. He's talking to her, but everybody knows that really he wants it to fall on the ears of that young man. Indirect teaching. And so this helps to do that as well. I can correct myself in a good way, and then the people will be less offended as if I was saying, you out there in the audience, you need to go to church every Sunday, right? Okay. And so then we have other parts of the show. We have amazing things from the Bible, and then other teaching and talk with self, and then a talk with Noah Treat, my son. Amazing things from the Bible is something that's 1 minute long, and it'll be something related to the main topic. On this one, the show on baptism, we're talking about where sprinkling came from, and that it's not from the Bible, but rather it is something that's recorded in history, invented by man. And then, after that, I have a talk with Noah Treat, and we'll do something. One of the talks that we do is on what is a tutor. You know, Galatians 3, 24 and 25, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. But maybe the Palauans don't know the word tutor, and they're not familiar with that. And so we talked to him and said, Noah, do you need a tutor? Do you need some more teaching after school? And he'll say, no. And we go back and forth with that a little bit. And so these are the elements that we use to break up the show. And we hope, Lord willing, to make it a little more listenable for those who are outside the church. So that's what we're doing. And that is leaping in faith. Well, brethren, we did find something to watch, didn't we? And we were able to fulfill our mission that way. You know, like we searched for something to watch, people in Palau and people across the world are searching for something to help them to be complete, to be right, to understand that there's more to this life than just what we're living for ourselves. Leaping in Faith and Moving Mountains TV helps them to do that. You know, Leaping in Faith and Moving Mountains TV is just one piece of our mission work. And even though I focused more on it time-wise this morning, it is just one piece. And so we are very thankful to you for your help in the islands and for your support of us through the years. Thank you very much. We have our time. Yeah, we have time. We have time for questions. Do you have anything that I can answer for you? Any curiosities?
What do they do when you're not there?
That's a problem. That's a problem. The men are very shy. And it's, again, one of those things that's cultural, and it's very difficult for me to explain to the American mindset. They don't have the idea of, well, necessity is laid on me, so I'm going to get up there and preach, even though I don't want to. They have the thinking of, I can't do that. I could never do that. And they are sorely tempted to just skip the services rather than come and do what is needful for them to do. So each year, when we come back to report, I get one brother on the hook to be the organizer, you know, and say, you, here's the keys, and you can open the building, and it's resting on you, and you can do it. And then I stay in touch with them to make sure that they are doing it and that they're organizing the services. I write out every portion of the service and leave it with them so that they'll do it. I give them 8 weeks' worth of worship services, and then they cycle those until I get back. So that's it.
Hi, Jerry. Hi. How often do you get a contact that comes as a result of the TV programs and radio programs?
Right. Well, we hear from it regularly. Everything that I shared with you there is just feedback this year. And so we have... Yes?
Something that
would lead to a Bible study. Well, we're still seeing the results of that and looking for the results of that. We've got leads that have started that haven't led to the Bible study yet. And so that's where that's at. Yeah. Leaping in Faith has only recently gotten on the air, and we're expecting that to bring in exactly what you're talking about. Okay, thank you. Another question.
What's the coverage of
the TV channel?
Yeah, who all sees it?
The whole country. We do not have the satellite TV providers like you have here. And so the cable company is the only TV provider in Palau, and we are direct to cable. So we don't have anything going over the air, as the expression goes, but rather it's direct to cable. And what that means is the whole country gets a cable subscription, and we reach everybody who does that. And it's 3,500 homes, but there are many people in one home in Palau, and so we reach everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the number of people that we reach through the cable that way would probably be 98% of the population.
How much does that cost?
We spend $300 a month for our cable connection, and that's it. Whatever then I spend in power operating the cameras. And so there's a one-time cost. The cameras are $3,500 each. We have two of them, and really that's about it. I have some lights, $1,200 in lights. So very, very low, considering that it's a TV studio and one-time thing and then $300 a month. Yeah.
But you're emanating the cable cast from your location?
That's right.
To send to the cable company?
We have one small bedroom in our home dedicated to it. That's what you saw there, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So not even an outside rental space.
Mm-hmm. So if you had a battery backup system, it could keep going even if you had a power loss?
Yes, that's true. That's right. That's true. Let me just comment on that, why we haven't done that. When the power goes down, their television sets go down as well, you know. And so sometimes it's countrywide, sometimes it's regional per there's four islands, and sometimes it's per island and small sections, but sometimes it's island wide. Yeah. Okay. The other religious groups in Palau, what are they? Catholicism is the number one because they came in the 1600s. The second most common religious group in Palau will be one that's surprising to you, and that is Seventh-day Adventism. They have taken a stronghold, and we have several businesses in Palau that close on Saturday, say goodbye to those dollars because of their religious beliefs, so they're dedicated. The third most common, from there it really breaks down into smaller groups. You've got Mormon and Baptist and others, but none of the others are very big. Yes?
Do you have provision to have someone call in and be on the air with you, and do they?
We want to do that. We have a drastic manpower crunch. One of our next goals is to be able to hire an assistant. We can do so very inexpensively in Palau. It'll not be someone who's had any training in the business, but we will train them. And what we need them to do is to set up the camera, set up the lights, and then do video editing for me. So our progression is hire someone and then be able to produce Leaping in Faith more often. At our best efforts, we can produce one show about per month. It should be one per week. So when I hire somebody, then we can produce one per week and then get to what it is that you're talking about. On Thursday nights, I want to do a live call-in Bible show where people call in and we answer the question live right there on the air. I would love to do that. I think it would have a great, great impact on the people of Palau. And members of the church? How many are active in Palau? 20? 20? We have, you know, if we counted up everybody, including the, what do you call them, drifting members, okay, we would have 30, but 20 are active. Mm-hmm. So it's a small group, but a good group, and it's growing. It has grown over the last 2 years. Yes?
Where did the belief in following the Old Testament
lies? Who knows? Well, okay, so these people are not connected to the internet. Now, can you remember back that far? Because what connection to the internet does is give us a global view and a global understanding, and certainly larger than just our little town. But can you remember back when people just lived in their little town and ideas and beliefs fostered and permeated among those groups? And if everybody said roses are black, well, then everybody else believed roses are black. And so this thinking is down to this little island, and they have raised their children and talk among themselves thinking that and believing that we are under the old law and we follow the old law, or just the whole Bible. And for example, the thing about marrying the brother, it's just part of their thinking. It's part of their culture. It's how they were raised. And it's difficult to change that. We really have to dig deep into the verses that say we're done with the old law to do that. And still, they'll scratch their heads and look at it and think. And they believe me. They believe I'm telling them the truth. But that doesn't make sense with what they've heard all the rest of their life. Another question. Yes. I'm sorry? We're in Koror, Palau, and so we work with the island country of Palau and the island state of Chuuk in the Federated States of Micronesia. And so those two areas are where we're working.
Yes.
They are very receptive, you know, just like here, they're more open-minded and willing to look and learn. And so that the youth are a good place for us to be working. We have a couple members with children, even in the teenage years, and so yes. Mm-hmm. But if you're thinking in terms of can we come out and do a campaign and work with the youth, yes, that's something that we could benefit from. Mm-hmm.
How many flights
does it take to get there? It is a 24-hour trip to get from here to Palau. And you can go Delta, and the main flight path for Delta would be Atlanta, L.A., Tokyo, Palau, or you can fly United, and that would go Atlanta, Honolulu, Guam, Palau. But buy a neck pillow, because you're going to want to sleep on that flight, let me tell you. Okay, time was.
How often are you in Chuuk?
I'm in Chuuk 1 week every 2 months. 1 week every 2 months. I have a young family, so it's hard to do more than that. I want to do more than that. Cost-wise, it's prohibitive to take the family, three kids. It would cost, $5,000. Tammy says four. in order to take the family just in airfare to Chuuk. And so those are some of the limiting factors. But if I had a rich uncle, okay, we would all go to Chuuk together and set up a house there and divide our time more equally between the two. Mm-hmm. Good. Any other questions? Yes. Yes.
What are their strengths?
Well, the one in Miari is very small, and especially after the loss of Frog, and we have some inroads there with the family members of the. There's one family that's left there, and a lot of members of that family, and so now we're having Bible studies with that family. In Naaman, we have about 20 members, but. They're challenged because part of their thinking and their culture is that they can't walk. And they don't have cars. And so if they live half a mile away from the church building, they have it in their mind that they can't walk and go to worship on Sunday morning. And yes. And so even though there are members, and to tell you the truth, we probably have 40 members of the church there in Naaman, but only 20 are assembling on Sunday morning. And so we teach them, walk for the Lord. This is what your Lord did for you. So you come and walk for Him on Sunday morning, that half mile or mile or whatever it be, and come to worship. And then the other congregation in Epanut Village has really just restarted again. And that was with the campaign that we had last summer in the 2015. And we had three men and three ladies in the church there in Epanut, and all three men of that congregation have left. And so now and then one of the ladies is not being very faithful. So we have two ladies there. But let me tell you, I wish to anything that the rest of the Chuukis were as faithful and diligent as those two ladies that we have there in Epanut. When I go there, they have their Lord's Supper things all set out. They have their little record book where they've been recording the contribution. They ask me, Joey, can we do this with a contribution? Can we do this with it? And they are just very, very attentive to trying to do it the right way, trying to do it the Lord's way, and very dedicated in doing it. And so we have small groups, but you know, that's where it starts. That's where it starts, and that's what we have to work with. Yeah. No, it goes back to laziness. That's what it goes back to. So that's the truth of it, and they are a people who have not been working. There's not enough jobs, you know, and so what they have trained themselves to do is not much. And there'll be one or two members in a family of 14 who go out and get the food, and that's usually whatever they have growing, free food, taro, tapioca, and then breadfruit out of the tree. One or two members will go and feed the rest of the family, and we just have to teach them to be diligent and to be hard workers, like the Bible says. Okay. Thank you for your good questions this morning.